Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Hi, people's Once Upon a Time podcast. I'm Jen, and tonight I'm joined by Karen, Kristen, and Brittany. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
All right, so let's get right to it. Is this a thumbs up or a thumbs down episode for you? Brittany, why don't you go ahead and start?
Thumbs way up. Two thumbs up, just in the case of a very special person.
All right. Kristen, how about you?
Definitely a thumbs up, but I'm also a Hook fan, so yeah. Anything that gives him screen time is good with me.
Karen?
Okay, I'm going to actually go with a thumb sideways
on this.
Now, let me tell you why. Because it's definitely a thumbs up for Hook. Don't get me wrong. Everything about Hook's amazing. But I was really disappointed in the Rumpel plotline. And I just kind of thought in some places it was dragging a little bit. So, not one of my favorite episodes, although it was still good. And I did like it.
Okay. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I liked the new little things that we saw. I liked the bits with Will that we saw because I think we're finally going to get some answers about him and what's going on with him and stuff like that. So I liked it overall. I think it had a lot going for it. All right, let's move on to our favorite quotes from this episode. My favorite quote came kind of in the very beginning of the episode when Emma goes in to ask Hook on a date. And she's like, what are you, like 300 years old? And he says, curses and Neverland may have given me experience, but as you can see, I've retained my youthful glow. I just think that's very much a Hook statement. So I like that one a lot. Kristen, how about yours? What's yours?
Mine was just after Emma got back from their date and Charming says, just for the record, some of us don't want to hear everything.
If I love Charming. Quoted that entire scene was so good.
Yes.
It was great. Just really great. I loved it.
All right, Karen, how about you?
Mine, I'm not sure everyone caught because it was sort of in the background, but over the radio.
Oh, no. It was so good.
The radio announcer guy, he says, we have a request here for Mr. Rip Van Winkle for something classic to wake up to. And I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh my God, this right here is why I love Once Upon a Time, because they are so good at feeding us those little tidbits and those like allusions to other things that it's so fun when you get to pick up on it. It was perfect.
Yes, that was really fun. And Brittany, how about yours?
Well, Karen kind of took part of mine, so I went with another one because I wanted to do when the radio first comes on and they're giving the weather report and they're like, it's going to be about 32 at the ice wall. And then they give the rest of the town's weather reports. But I did when Hook and Rumpel are remaking their deal and Rumpel pulls out the VHS tape and Hook goes, I know how this device works. So I just thought that was really cute because following his other statements with the Emma button and trying to figure out everything.
Yes. All right. So let's get talking about this episode because I feel like there's a lot of information there and I feel like some of the information we've been given and it's probably really blatant, even though we might not know what to do with it yet. I don't know. Did you guys feel that way? Like there was a lot of information, but you don't know where it all fits in just yet.
Right. Yeah. Like things that will come up later to be kind of important, but right now they make no sense at all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is how Once Upon a Time usually works, I find.
But yeah, this is
pretty much. Yeah.
I have a question and it's probably good to get this out of the way in the beginning. But I basically don't know anything about the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And I'm sure I'm not the only one out there that doesn't. So I don't know. Is there anything I'm really missing not knowing it? Or is everything so far kind of up front?
It's really up front because the Sorcerer's Apprentice, you can really just, I mean, if you watch the Mickey Mouse thing, like you can really kind of figure it out. It's like literally the hat. The sorcerer leaves the hat out and Mickey takes it and it has all of this power and he doesn't know what to do with it. And he's making a mess of things. So, and he sweeps the floor. And then the buckets come to life and march
right.
around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yes, there is.
And I'm trying to, like, it was a 1940s film. It's like one of the first I think it's one of the first ones they did in color at Disney, right? In Technicolor or something like that. Yeah, I know it was like huge at the time.
You mean Fantasia or
Fantasia? Yeah, which is part of the Sorcerer's Apprentice. That's where he comes from.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I believe Snow White was the first, but Fantasia is pretty close.
Yeah. And it was kind of such a huge deal because of the way it was. But yeah. So basically, we don't really know a lot about this version of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, except he does sweep and mop and take after and like watch the Sorcerer's Hat, which is very much what Mickey Mouse did in Fantasia. So that's kind of where we're at with that. That's all we have. And then the opening scene, we see the Sorcerer's Apprentice dealing with an old Dark One, not dealing with Rumple, but dealing with the Dark One that came before him. And he's trying to break in to steal the Sorcerer's Hat, and he can't. It's been spelled. And so this apprentice is constantly keeping guard over the Sorcerer's Hat, and Rumple finds a way around it eventually. Or he works very hard to find a way around it, and eventually he uses Anna to get what he wants. So that was kind of a really interesting opening to have a Dark One that wasn't Rumpelstiltskin.
I was really surprised by that. I really thought it was going to be Rumple, and then when he lowered his hood and it wasn't, I was like, whoa, I didn't see that coming, but it was cool.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. It was a little different. So we start off with everything in Storybrooke, and the first thing we see is Emma talking to Henry, basically getting permission to ask Hook out. I mean, how cute is that, you guys?
That was really cute.
It's like very sweet and very thoughtful of her. I think it's really interesting that she really, you know, thinks that she has. And Henry thinks Hook's cool anyway, I think, for the most part, doesn't he?
I think he likes whoever makes his mom smile.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cute. And then we see Emma ask Hook out in a very awkward way. In a way that really surprises Hook in a lot of ways. And then we see Hook go to Rumple, and he, unfortunately, makes a deal with Rumple to get his hand back. What do you guys think about that whole Rumple-Hook dynamic? Because that basically plays throughout the entire episode. But starting with that interaction of when he goes to ask about his hand, what did you guys think?
Well, that whole part was, like, so annoying. Because you know that it's going to run out eventually, Hook being able to hold this thing over Rumple's head. And I actually enjoyed their interactions at the end of the episode better, because Hook's kind of realizing, like, oh no, I got a little too brazen and now I'm paying for it. So the beginning interaction, I was like, this is not going to work out well, but I couldn't see where it was going. But I'm looking forward to Rumple having a little bit of power over Hook. I don't know why I can't stand Rumpelstiltskin, but I'm looking forward to it.
I think it'll be a really interesting dynamic because it's not the way it's ever played before between the two of them. It's been this constant back and forth where they're kind of almost, even though Rumple is powerful, Hook doesn't succumb to that power in a lot of ways. But now he's a little bit at the mercy of it because of the things that he's done. So I think that'll be really interesting to see how that continues to play out. Then we have Elsa with Snow and Charming, and they're looking through curse books. Were you guys surprised to see that they had curse books?
I thought Elsa's line there that was like, your curses are very thorough, was really funny. Because it's like, their curses come with books that have logs of who's come through. Like, that's genius.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. But there are almost 10 of them, I think. Like, in the end, it was crazy.
We probably shouldn't be surprised that there are so many.
This is probably true. But yeah, so I thought that was really interesting that they're looking through the curse books to see, I think they're looking for the Snow Queen's real name or who she could have been and if she came in through with a curse, which is interesting. So we move from there, and Emma comes out dressed in her dress to go out with Hook. And it was very fancy for Emma being all dressed up. Were you guys surprised to see her so dressed up?
Yeah, kind of. It actually brought me back to the pilot episode when she was in that slinky dress when she was going after that one guy. And so, I mean, we know that she dresses up pretty nice, but she's usually in her jeans and her little jacket. And it was pretty different seeing her like that.
Yeah, she's very girly.
It was the ponytail freaked me out.
It was, yeah.
It was a little high.
It was.
I don't think she really knows what to do with her hair, though, because she always wears it just, like, one way all the time. So she was like, oh, this is different. Let's try this.
Yeah, it was cute, but I was like, wow, that's a very high ponytail. Like, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I also loved Elsa's line when she's like, oh, that's a great corset. Where's the rest of it? Or something. Like, that cracked me up. I was like, yes. There's something very funny about that.
Oh, and then when Mary Margaret takes out the Polaroid camera.
Yes! It's kind of funny. Oh. Or when David gets concerned because Hook now has two hands.
Yeah. Oh.
It's so, that must be so awkward to be an adult and have your parents be like, it's your first date, and be all like, prom photo.
I loved the theme of her throughout the episode just being like, oh, man, I gotta get my own place.
Yeah.
That was almost my quote, just because, like, she does need to get
it, like, three times.
I know.
It was pretty funny, actually. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that whole, like, segment when they were all together. And then David and Emma go out. Not David. Oh, my God. Emma and Killian go out on their date. And they go to a restaurant and Hello, Lady and the Tramp, anyone?
Yeah.
All they were missing was the theme music in the back. which I thought, again, is really fun. That little nod to old school Disney. And Killian starts to have his hand affect him. And Wurmple had warned him that when he gave him the hand back, that hand was the old Killian and not this new Killian. It might influence him and make him do bad things.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Give it to me.
I was a little, like, okay, in the instant when we were seeing the scene, I wasn't bothered by it because I just assumed that he was telling him the truth and that the hand was kind of bringing it out of him. But if he wasn't actively thinking about the hand at that point, if he wasn't thinking about how this hand could make him do bad things, how could it have still been messing with his mind? Like, if it wasn't actually cursed, if there wasn't actually anything wrong with it, and he was focused on the date at that moment, why would it have occurred to him that the hand made him angry and made him do that? You see what I mean?
Yeah. But,
like, he kind of flipped out and then looked at his hand.
Rumble got in his head. It's all in his subconscious.
Totally get it. Yeah,
that just bothers me.
Yeah, no, it bothers me too. And that's what I keep thinking, that it's just the subconscious thing where, you know, he planted that seed and the seed's growing now. But at the same time, I feel like this is very loose logic. And I don't know, maybe it's because I just kind of hated this whole plot line with Rumple, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it was a little bit confusing. It was basically Rumple trying to prove a point to Hook about who's really in control, I think, is what it comes down to.
Right, and, like, after that moment, I can totally see it snowballing.
Right.
Like, it totally makes sense that it snowballs from there. But just that first time, it just surprises me that he gets all the angry and acts out of character and then looks down and says, it was my hand. Like, if he would have looked at his hand and thought, and, like, reminded himself of it and then acted out of character, I would have seen the motivation. Like, it would have felt more like it really was his subconscious. But it's minor, but it just bugged me.
Yeah, I think it was more for the audience's thought process to, like, throw them off,
mm-hmm.
which is annoying. Like, we're smart enough. Just you don't need to trick us or try to trick us.
Oh, but where's the fun in that? Also, on this lovely date night, we see Will once again appear, and he's sitting at the bar, basically drinking his sorrows away, and he sees Emma, and is like, oh, the sheriff, and so he tries to get out of the restaurant without being seen, and of course, knocks a whole glass of wine over onto Emma. So, yeah, so much for Will escaping gracefully, and then, of course, that's when Hook kind of gets a little aggressive with him. So, we'll talk a little bit about Will a little bit later when he comes up again, because I have so many questions about him. Anyway, from there, we have Henry and Regina working together, which, can I just say, I love this. I love that he's, like, in her dungeony vault and, like, working with her to find things and stuff. Like, I love it. I wish we could see more of that.
I was, and this is kind of in the last episode, but I wasn't on the last two episodes of Wuncible, but I really love the fact that she was pretty upfront with him and that they're working on this together and that, you know, everything's sort of laid out there in front of them. So I think it is really cool that Henry is being there for both of his moms because he told Emma to ask Hook out and that he was okay with that. And Henry knew kind of what was going on between Robin and Regina. And it's just like, man, that kid's grown up so much since the beginning. And I just really like him as a character.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely grown up. And I like this new kind of role they've put him in. He's not this, you know, wide-eyed child running around going, oh, there's magic. Like, he's kind of embraced it and moved on with it, which I really like. So, I don't know. We'll see. See how that continues to grow for him as this show unravels. And then, of course, we have our favorite scene where David and Snow are waiting up for Emma. And the look on Snow White's face when Emma comes in, it's like, girl talk time, come on.
And there she's, and Emma's like, oh, you're still awake. I really need to get my own place.
Like, yeah, they're like sitting in the dark and David's got like his arms folded.
Yeah, he's got like the ultimate scowl going on. And he's like, I do not want to know. Because she's like, did you guys kiss? And he's like, that's one of the things I would not want to know. I mean, but what does he think? Like, she's a grown woman, David.
Yeah. Right. And that just like, reminded me of when they were leaving and he was like, do you need a ride?
I know.
I wish that happened.
I feel like he is so super awkward at being a dad to a grown woman. Like, he doesn't know what to do with it. I kind of love it. So after that awkwardness, we move on from that. And we see Hook go try to basically return the hand to Rumpel. And Rumpel says, oh no, you can't make a deal with me anymore because I've given Belle back the dagger. And Hook being Hook buys it and says to Rumpel, I'll do anything to give the hand away. Never, ever say that to Rumpelstiltskin. And Hook should know better. Silly, silly man. So Hook now finds himself in a predicament that is so not okay. So what do you guys, I don't know, like.
I'm so frustrated.
I'm very mad at Rumpel, like just mad. And it stems from him just being underhanded. Like, what good is it to have, I mean, I know that evil Rumpel, whatever, wants anybody he can under his thumb so he can use them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he was doing so well. He was moving into a nice place, and now he's manipulating and working his, like, there was no reason for any of this to happen. Like, it just made me, oh, I was so, so, so mad because he's messing with Hook, and yeah, they've got history, but I thought they had buried it, and yeah, so I'm just frustrated.
Aside from that, though, like, all the redeeming qualities that Rumpel has had up until this point, I feel like are just quickly fading for me. He seems like he's reverting back to his old self, and yeah, he's not as bad as he used to be, and I think that Belle is still very much a positive influence on him, and I realize that he still needs this inner conflict, and he still needs to struggle with being a bad guy, because that's just part of his character, but whatever he's doing, and I have some theories about that that we can talk about later on, but whatever he's doing, he's going to really big lengths to get it done no matter the price. And I feel like that doesn't really coincide with the Rumpel that we've had in the last season.
No, it sort of like washes everything away that he's grown into.
Which I think is why I'm so mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely reverted to a level of, like, right after the curse was discovered and he's so manipulative. That's, I mean, basically it's one manipulation after another with Rumpel right now. And it's so sad to see, but at the same time, you can't have all the evil characters, you know, all the villains become good, because how does that work then? Do you know what I mean? There still has to be some element. And I guess out of all of them, Rumpel was never going to be the one who went good.
Yeah, I just feel like they're doing such a good job with Regina, because she is such a better person now, and yet she's still struggling with, okay, I want my happy ending. How far am I going to go to get it? And that seems very natural for her, whereas I feel like Rumpel just keeps going back and forth, and that's just why I'm getting so frustrated.
Yeah, he's definitely more back and forth. And just when you think he's gone good and he's, you know, gone the straight path, he does something like kill Selena. Do you know what I mean? Like, it all looks really good, and then all of a sudden he makes a choice that is so horrible. So I guess, I don't know, there's that darkness within him that he just doesn't fight very well. All right, so moving on from there, with all this lovely Rumple business, Belle goes to the library and finds Will passed out, slightly intoxicated, clutching the book of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Will. That's so sad.
I know. And what's more sad and what's more difficult for me is that I have no idea why. I think that's the hard part, is that, like, you know, like, where he should be. You know that when we last saw him, things were good. And now he's turned up in Storybrooke. He's thieving again. And he's a raging drunk. So what's going on?
Okay. He's holding that picture of the Red Queen.
I know. He had it in his pocket. He tore it out of the book.
One of the girls that I work with, mentioned this to me. And I thought I'd bring it up. I'm not entirely sure it works. But I'm going to say it anyway. She said that when she first saw Will in the forest, whatever, you know, last episode, she thought that his timeline was happening before Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. Like, that this was when, this is from before we saw all of the events with Alice.
I don't know how it could be, because the rabbit came to get him right before the second curse.
Okay, thank you. I was trying to find the reason why, and I couldn't figure it out, because every time I came up with something, I was like, that doesn't, like, that could make sense. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. If you're right.
I mean, unless he somehow found his way back, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense that it would be post Wonderland, but it was just something she brought up and I couldn't come up with the reason why. So that probably is exactly what I was looking for.
I mean, I'm really hoping we find out, because I am super, super curious what his deal is right now.
Yeah, because he's been a really annoying character, and I want him to be a better character, because I feel like he has a good story coming up. But until now, he's just been like this annoying presence.
He's just
driving me crazy.
Pops up every now and then. But I really, like, I need to know. I mean, and maybe they will place him, you know, before the Wonderland stuff. I don't know how that would work, but it is Once Upon a Time, so they can really kind of do whatever they want. But I'm dying to know what happened with Anastasia and Wonderland if he's back in Storybrooke. And if it is post Alice in Wonderland, then why is he in Storybrooke and what happened? Because clearly he's got the Alice in Wonderland book. He's got the Anastasia picture, you know, ripped out of the book. So what is that all about? What's happened?
Yeah, and he got in before the ice wall.
So yeah.
He had to have come in after them.
Right. So
he wouldn't have just been rummaging around for that long.
No. So I'm just really, really curious as to when he turned up. And there's the outside shot that they've somehow found a way to make it pre-Alice in Wonderland time. I think he's in the same clothes as he was when the rabbit took him the first time during the Peter Pan curse, but I could be wrong. Everybody seems to wear a lot of leather jackets on the show.
Yeah.
So can we talk about Hook's clothes now?
Yes, please do. Bring it up.
Because I was one of the ones that was like, I kind of like him in his pirate outfit. I don't know how I feel about him being in regular clothes, but I really liked it.
Okay, but weren't regular clothes all that much different from his pirate clothes?
No, which is why I liked it.
There was still a leather jacket. Can we get him in something other than black? Is that an
option? They gave him some jeans. He's not wearing leather pants now. He's wearing jeans. Like, that's
baby steps. Baby steps, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like I want to see him something other than leather.
Oh, man. And can you imagine so many layers, him, like, super dressed up? I'd kind of like to see him, like, uncomfortably in, like, fancy clothes or something.
Like in a suit. Yeah,
or, like, borrowing David's plaid shirts or something.
Yes! That needs to happen. Genius. I love it. So I don't know. It would be interesting to see. Like, I feel like he and Emma, like, rock the leather jacket. Like, Emma's got, like, three different colored leather jackets at this point in time that we've seen her in. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's weird. Can we get a little subtle difference? But whatever. It's one of those minor things, really. All right. So Will ends up in jail, as we all know. And as he's trying to break it, we should mention this. As he's trying to break into the library, Hook decides to give him a hard time and pound his face in again.
Blame it on the hand.
Yep. It's all about the hand, which it so is not. And then the next day, Hook goes off with Rumple. Rumple basically says, I'll change your hand back, but here's the deal. You have to come with me to do this thing.
Does Hook live on that bench? I'm sorry.
I was thinking when Emma's like, oh, I really have to get my own place. I'm like, does Hook not have a place? Like,
yeah, I think he lives on that bench.
Could we see Hook's place? Because talk about something that would be fascinating. Do you know what I mean? Like, where does a pirate live?
When he doesn't have his ship.
I know.
Oh, that hurt.
I know. But it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. So the two of them set off from the docks following the broom. Oh, goodness me.
That's so cute.
It was very cute. I was
real into it.
And they go and they find the lovely Sorcerer's Apprentice who is living in Storybrooke. And Rumple basically does some really horrible things. He talks to him. He basically has Hook manhandle him and sit him in a chair. And then Rumple utilizes the hat to steal his magic. And from the flashback stuff that we're going to talk about shortly, we know that that hat will steal people's magic, and what it will do in the end is basically break Rumple's connection to the dagger, which is, again, fascinating and interesting. So I can see where Rumple's kind of drive to use the hat and to use that kind of stuff to break the connection with the dagger, because then no one would have control over him.
So, question.
Yes.
Does he get all of the power that the hat absorbs?
Yes.
Okay, so he would...
But I feel like he has to wear the hat.
I like was in really
the Sorcerer's Apprentice, because you have to have the hat on for
right.
the work.
Yeah, I was really hoping he wasn't going to put it on, and I'm like... I really don't want to see anybody have to wear that thing because they're going to look ridiculous. But my question was, if he has all of that power, okay, he has all of that power and then he doesn't need the dagger anymore. So he's just going to be like super powerful with basically no weaknesses, right?
Pretty much, yeah. No good can come of that.
Okay. Do we have any
fell down?
Do we have any theories about what else he could be doing? Because I just keep going back to Neil and the fact that he's just going to want to bring him back. I don't know if that's possible, but other than getting rid of his connection to the dagger, I feel like that would be basically his number one goal, is to try to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that that is in his mind, only because I think he's trying really hard to move on from it. And then even Henry coming in at the end, which we'll talk about in a little bit, like, I think he's trying to really move past that. I really do think it's only the dagger.
Yeah, I don't know what else it could be if it's not that. Like, I'm not really sure what other game he's got going on, what other things he wants to accomplish.
Well, the other thing that kind of bothers me is, why is he so desperate to get rid of the dagger now? Like, he stumbled across that box, like, just stumbled across it in the random house, and it, like, occurs to him that he needs to then just get rid of the dagger? Like, why? Because the only person who has any interest or had any interest in using it or whatever was Belle. Like, she owned it. It was, you know, she had the dagger, or she thought. Nobody else was, like, coming after him.
But I think it's a matter of, like we saw in the flashback, of others being able to control him at any given time. And if you think about all the seasons of Once Upon a Time, that dagger has become an issue. Zelina had it and controlled him. He had to basically use it to kill Peter Pan. Like, there were so many things that fed into it that I think part of it, getting rid of it, would benefit him. Because he has been manipulated a little bit. Had Zelina not controlled him, with the dagger, would Rumple have gone back to being bad by killing her in the end? Or would he have stayed on the straight and narrow and been able to be with Belle? Would he have not lost his son? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I think before Xelena even had the dagger, though, did she have the dagger after she put Neil and him in the same body? Or did she get it after that?
She had it then. That's when he went to release him.
Yeah,
how she got it.
Gotcha.
So that, do you see what I mean? I think that the dagger represents all the bad that's come.
Yeah, and plus the hat is now serving as like that. He really is not good at avoiding temptation either.
Yeah.
This is very true. So, yeah. So Hook does this thing with Rumple. And then Rumple, first of all, who uses a VHS tape to record their security anymore? I feel like Rumple's pulling a fast one on Hook again. And I'm just like, oh, Hook.
And eventually Emma's going to be like, no.
Yeah, so Hook basically now has himself in a really precarious situation. He is basically at Rumple's beck and call in forever. And Rumple has such a bad history with Hook that he will definitely take it out on him forever. So what do you guys think about that? Like, what is... Oh, I don't know.
I really do think that if Hook went to... maybe not Emma, maybe Snow, and explained to her what is going on, like, and just told her. He said, I saw my hand. He offered me my hand back. Of course I wanted it back. And now he's got me. And he did this thing, and there's a tape, and this is what's going on. Like, even if they don't entirely believe him coming forward and telling someone that Rumple is up to something, I think would be, like, I think they would understand that he's not trying to start trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I think him being silent about it and just letting Rumple manipulate him is going to cause more problems than if he just went and told someone what just happened.
Yeah, and his biggest thing last episode was that he thought Emma didn't trust him. And so now this is going to come back and bite him.
Like, if anyone would understand being manipulated by Rumple, it would be those people. Like, they've all had to deal with him at one point or another. They know just how he can be.
And not only that, but didn't we go through all this once before with Hook, where he didn't tell them what was going on?
Well, there was a time when he did tell Emma back on Neverland. Like, I forget what exactly it was, but there was something that he could have kept from her or told her, and he told her and everything worked out. And I remember saying it was really healthy of him to, like, not keep the secret, but to tell her.
That was when Neil was alive, right? Like, he told her that saw Neil.
Yeah, that's what it was. And we were all, like, applauding him for it. And it's like, this is the same situation. Just tell her what's going on. Even if she's a little mad at you, she'll understand eventually. Like, she'll get over it.
Yeah, but this is going to end badly. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is just going to end badly. And what I found really interesting about that whole interaction was how much Rumple was like, you threatened my marriage. Do you understand? That's my one happiness. And I'm like, do you understand what you've done to your own marriage, Rumple? Do you have any idea what you've done? So I found that really intriguing because he really has no concept of what he has done to destroy his marriage. When that eventually comes up, because eventually it'll come up. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's totally missed the point.
Yeah. Like, you're the one who damaged this to begin with. Hook didn't start this.
Right. So I don't know. It's very strange. It'll be that particular plot line will be interesting to see how it develops throughout, because it's got so many people wrapped up into, like if one thread is pulled the wrong way, lots of relationships will crumble. So it'll be really interesting to see how that one plays out. While looking at the curse books, because, you know, that's what you do in Storybrooke, you look through the curse books, they discover that the Snow Queen actually didn't come through on any curse, which means she chose to come to Storybrooke. Which, really, who chooses to come to Storybrooke? I'm sorry, I'm confused. And so, essentially, Emma feels like the Snow Queen's been, like, stalking her as well. when she went inside at the beginning to see Hook, she came back out. There was a puddle around her car. Then later she thought she saw the Snow Queen and she kind of followed her, but she wasn't really there. So what do you guys think about that? Emma's kind of like weird thing with the Snow Queen.
Well, I think that name, like when she was like Emma, like that really freaked her out. And it freaked everyone out who kind of like realized there was a connection that wasn't just to Elsa. So I think she's just as Hook was fixated on his hand causing all these problems, Emma's fixated on the Snow Queen causing all these problems.
Yeah, I'm dying to know what that relationship is there.
I also want like a name, you know. I'm tired of being like Snow Queen.
But they said her name, she came in by the name of Sarah.
Yeah. But I feel I'm not ready to call her that. It's either like, Elizabeth Mitchell or Snow Queen.
Like we're going with legit name, or I guess we'll stay with Snow Queen.
I know. Yeah. I'm like always ready to start typing and like recaps. I'm like, and then Elizabeth Mitchell shows up, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. So I'm just really curious to find out more about that connection as well, because I feel like it's a big thing we're missing, and I feel like it's really relevant to Emma's magic. Because Emma's magic, the first time she was really able to use it and successfully use it independently, was in the presence of the Snow Queen. So that's where I'm at with that one. And then lastly, in Storybrooke, Henry comes up with this kind of ingenious plan that in order to help Regina find her happy ending, he's going to start hanging out with his grandpa, Rumpel, a little bit more. Because, well, Rumpel's a villain and he got his happy ending, right? So.
Wrong.
Oh, I know.
So wrong.
But, like, there's so much that goes into that because he did get a happy ending, but the storybook mm-hmm. wasn't rewritten for him. So how does that work? And yet Henry's going in to, like, work at the shop 3 times a week to try and figure out how the storybook was rewritten, even though it wasn't. So part of me thinks that Henry's going to be the one that blows this all up in Rumpel's face.
I hope so. I would love that.
I would kind of love that too.
So much.
But I'm like, I'm really, really into the Henry and Rumpel relationship just because, like, I think that they, like, when Henry first went to him and was like, I need you to erase my memories, that was my favorite Rumpel moment that's ever happened in the entire series when he talked to him. And so I'm looking forward to more interactions between the two of them.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that spending time with Henry will also help Rumpel see the things that he could lose by what he's doing.
That's what I'm really curious about, because, you know, is he going to look at Henry and be like, this is somebody I could really easily manipulate? Or is he going to look at him and be like, no, this, you know, boy is so innocent and naive, he's sort of off limits. And I think Henry right now is treading in dangerous waters, because I don't know which way it's going to go, and it'll be really interesting, hopefully, to see Rumpel struggle with that and think about Henry and the relationship that he could have with him.
Yeah, I think it'll be amazing. Like, I think there's so much that relationship can do for both of them that I really hope that we see a lot of that, because I don't know, I'll be fascinated by it. We shall see. All right, let's talk a little bit about flashback, the whole flashback segment, because we saw in the flashbacks, we saw a lot of Anna tonight, which was interesting. And Anna meets up with Rumpel, and they talk about why her parents visited him. And Rumpel tells her that they visited because they were afraid of Elsa, and that they were looking for a way to get rid of Elsa's power.
Lies.
So, yeah, I'm thinking it's lies, but I don't know.
So, well, I think Rumpel might know of her parents, but I still think they were coming for the Snow Queen. I don't think they were coming for Rumpel.
Very true, very possible. So from there, Rumpel basically won't tell Anna anything until she agrees to a deal with him, which is, as we all know, a horrible idea. But Anna doesn't know that yet because she's new to the Enchanted Forest. So Anna agrees. She signs off on one of his very long scrolls, which is never a good sign. And essentially, she goes off on a mission for him. And he gives her a bottle of potion and says, bring this to the old man that lives in the cottage in the at the foot of the mountain and put it in his tea. And he won't tell her what it'll do to him. He won't tell her anything. He just says, go do it. And so Anna goes to do it, and she feels very kind of guilty about it. Like, she won't do it. And so she makes the decision to not do it. And so she comes back to Rumple and lies and says that she's done it. And Rumple says, oh, really? That's great. Because it was a cure. And so Anna kind of panics, and she's like, what do you mean it was a cure? I didn't give it to him. And so Rumple kind of calls her on her bluff. And from there, it kind of just keeps going where Rumple's manipulating her, telling her that he's going to keep her in a tower. Then Anna pulls a sword on him and threatens to kill him. And she actually truly thinks about killing him. And then she stops herself short and she begins to cry. And Rumple uses her tears to then open the box, because he can then go in and get the box from, or he's planning on using it to open the box. Because now that the Sorcerer's Apprentice is out of the way, he can go in and retrieve the Sorcerer's box. So what did you guys think about Rumple's manipulation of Anna? Because I felt like he did it a lot, and he did it really well.
Yeah, like, it was, I can't even follow everything that he did, because it was like one manipulation led to another one, and it seemed like, oh, she got the best of him, but really he, you know, factored that in the entire time. And that's what's been so amazing about Rumple from the very beginning, is that he can pull all of these strings, and he just knows human nature so, so well that he can see what decisions people are going to make. And, you know, if they have a few different choices, he knows which way to drive them and, you know, how to counteract what they're doing to make it all play out into his hands.
Very true. That's why he's Rumpelstiltskin, sadly. So from there, we see Elsa and Rumple are at the apprentice's house. The apprentice, interestingly, becomes a mouse.
Ha ha ha.
Oh, I felt like such an idiot. It took me like 10 minutes to recognize that he was a mouse and it's the apprentice. And I was like, wow, nice job, self.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then so Anna's arguing with Rumple, and the mouse drops down onto Rumple's hand and bites him. And when he does, Anna picks up the dagger and the box. And as she's holding the dagger on him, she realizes that, oh wait, the dagger controls him. So Anna basically wishes herself back to Arendelle, and she tells Rumple that he can never come after her or her sister. And I think there was something else in there. There was one other stipulation.
She had to change the apprentice back.
Oh, he has to change the apprentice back. Yes, thank you. So he has to do all of those things, and he has to follow her command because she has the dagger. So she whisks back to Arendelle with the magic box. Now, when we see the box next, it's in that house where Rumple finds it. But the last time we see the box, when Rumple first saw it, Anna has it in Arendelle. So where's Anna? Anyone?
And who? Yeah, who gets the box? Whose house were they in?
Yeah, whose house was that?
Yeah, that house is so important. Like, the house is killing me. But yeah, like, I feel like the house is one of those unanswered questions. Because how did the box get there? Did the Snow Queen bring it? Like, is that how Rumple knows her?
Well, does that mean the house could be Kristoff and Anna's?
Yeah, but where are they?
If it was theirs, then... Okay, that would explain how the box got...
Right, but Belle says, oh, I passed this hiking and the house isn't listed anywhere, no one's name's on it, and I haven't seen anyone there. So if it's their house, then where are they? I mean, and it did have the ship, like, it had one of those, like, ships like Anna's parents were on. Like, it was in the house in the background, like a tall ship,
mm-hmm.
like a model tall ship. So, I mean, I don't know. It's so weird.
I mean, the house could have been transported there without the occupants. Like, if they were somewhere else and they got stuck in the Enchanted Forest or something like that. I mean, they didn't have to come with the house, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those very curious things. So, like I said, the last we know is Anna gets back to Arendelle. She sees Kristoff. They talk. She has the box. That's the last we see of it. And the last we know of Anna is that she's back in Arendelle. So, what do you guys think happens to Anna? Any guesses? Any thoughts?
Random question before.
Yes.
When Anna returned to Arendelle and saw Kristoff, correct me, Elsa was there, right? Like, she's still in Arendelle at that point.
Yes, I believe so.
So we didn't see their reunion, but at some point they get separated again.
Yeah, because right now we left with Anna struggling whether, like, what she's going to tell Elsa.
Okay. I was trying to keep it all straight in my head. I was like, wait, Elsa is there right now. Okay.
Right, but the Snow Queen is also there right now.
Yeah, because they just fought Hans, and so Elsa was in the castle showing the Snow Queen around.
Okay.
When we last left her. Right. So she could be gone. We don't know.
Who knows?
But I feel like Snow Queen plays a huge part in this.
Yeah, because she's the one that took the memories, right?
She says the rock trolls did it, but...
Oh, right, right.
And we know that rock trolls can take memory because they took Anna's when she was a little girl, but I don't know.
Gosh. I'm sensing this box and the Snow Queen and Elsa are all in the same place, and this urn that the Snow Queen came out of that we know Elsa gets trapped in is also there, so I sense something big coming in that past storyline that's going to give us the big clue as to what the Snow Queen is really up to and what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if Emma has no memories of the Snow Queen, does that mean she was somehow exposed to the rock trolls as well? If they really were the ones that wiped the memories?
Yeah.
Which means
so.
She ended up in Arendelle at some point.
Oh my god, we have so many questions.
I know, I feel like this was that episode that was like, we're going to, like cast this illusion of an awesome date, and then we're going to mess with you.
I know. So true.
It's like, enjoy this little date, but here you go. Here's a whole bunch of other crap.
Totally going to tease you with the Hook Emma moments, and then we're going to rip it all away and make you confused. Oh, yes. Only once upon a time. So do you guys have any other theories that you can think of? Any crazy, wild, out there things?
Well, I'm still hoping that my one prediction of the Snow Queen, like, because, okay, so I reread The Snow Queen and by Hans Christian Andersen, and there's, like, these kids, and one of them gets, so there's, like, this big glass thing, like, orb thing that breaks in the beginning, and what happens is it, like, rains down on the village, and, it gets in, like, if it gets in, like, your eye or it gets in, like, your heart, like, you can turn to ice. Like, you start to see the bad in everyone and everything. So I'm still hoping that that comes into play somehow. There's a lot of, like, glass-titled episodes coming up. Like, next week is called Breaking Glass, and then it's, like, Destruction of, like, the Mirror or something like that. I mean, I know that can refer to Sydney Glass, but in the story, the Snow Queen has this lake in her, like, fortress, and it's called, like, the Mirror of Reflection or Reason or something like that. I forget what it's called. Hoping that comes into play at some point.
I think that would be a really cool tie-in. It would be a great way to, like, deviate from all things Frozen and yet still keep the characters in play.
Yeah.
So I like it. It's got a lot of possibility. Anyone else have any crazy theories they want to throw out there? Now's the time.
I keep thinking, and this really isn't very logical, but I keep thinking somehow, some way the Snow Queen is related to Emma, and I'm trying to piece together, you know, the atrocious family tree that is Once Upon a Time, because, I mean, assuming she's telling the truth, she's Elsa's aunt, and who knows what other family members exist on her side, you know, if she had any children or you know, if there could possibly be another connection there, because we know there's a connection between Anna and David. I mean, obviously not a romantic one, but these families have interacted before, and I just wonder if possibly, you know, something could have happened along the way that we just haven't seen yet.
Okay, has Snow seen the Snow Queen?
No.
I wonder if maybe possibly the Snow Queen is Snow's mom's sibling, as well as Anna's mother.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Like if they're all sisters, because Snow hasn't seen her yet. And I feel like if Snow sees her and recognizes her, then that'll be your major clue. Like,
yeah, because they have been keeping her distance from her. Like, just not intentionally, but, like, maybe intentionally.
And they keep giving Snow things to do that keep her from being involved in all this. So maybe that has something to do with it.
That would kind of be fascinating.
That would just add another intertwined branch to the tree, and I don't know if my brain can handle that.
It's all these crazy vines that, like, link into each other.
Henry would have a couple more aunts.
Like, because Henry needs more family right about now. He definitely does not have enough.
Yeah.
All right. So, listeners, if you have any crazy crack theories, please make sure you leave them in the comments, because I'm always fascinated to hear what people think about all these really cool storylines we have going on, because I know I always miss something, and then when it comes up and it's like they tell you what's going on, you're like, oh, I'm such an idiot. So I don't know. I'm really interested to see what others have to think. Also, there were some really cool Easter eggs, most of which I think we've already mentioned, but if you guys saw any other Easter eggs that we may have missed, we got the mouse, the Lady and the Tramp dinner with the couple, of course, having the spaghetti together, because, you know, people do that all the time.
I thought that too. I was like, that's not normal.
People don't really do that. I need two, like, Cocker Spaniels, please. Then we have Will holding the Alice in Wonderland book and the torn out pages of Red Queen, and of course the fantastic Rip Van Winkle reference, which was super fun. So if you guys had any other Easter eggs that we may have missed, again, leave them in the comments. Always curious to see what other people see, because there's always so much to see, especially in Gold's shop. Like, I felt like there was a big display with a lot of scissors and things. Like, I felt like that was meant to represent something, but I have no idea what. I was like, do we have Edward Scissorhands coming up? Like, what's going on?
Oh, no.
But, like legit, like, in one of the shots where Rumple is talking to Hook, I think it is, there's this big thing, and it's got, like, scissors sticking all out of it. So I don't know.
Scissors just make me think of the Fates every time.
I know. Snipping. Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Like, things like that. I'm like, oh, that must represent something, and I feel like I'm missing it. So yeah. So let us know what you guys think. We'd love to hear it. So I think that wraps up this episode of Onceable. And until next week, where there looks like there's some crazy business going on, possibly with Sydney Glass and the Snow Queen, which will be an interesting mix. We'll talk to you guys then. So until next time, I'm Jen.
I'm Karen.
I'm Brittany.
I'm Kristen.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye. Bye.